Good evening, all. Our brother and evangelist and preacher is out on the road, out in the field, laboring in the Lord's vineyard. He's helping another congregation down in Vieville. He's leading their gospel meeting. So we want to pray that goes well for him and that he travel safely back here with us when that is over. For those who are visiting, we are grateful that you are in our presence. Let me introduce myself for the sake of our guests. My name is Zachary Teachley. I'm one of the elders here at the Southeast Congregation, and I'm filling in for our brother Obed Pineda as he is our pulpit minister. Please turn in your Bibles to James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21. We'll read that lesson text. Hopefully, this lesson will be a review, a refresher, or a reminder for us all as we live the Christian life. So James chapter 1, verses 19 through 21 reads, "So then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." The subject of my lesson tonight, which is receive with meekness the engrafted word, is intended to address the type of disposition, the demeanor, or the attitude that we should have whenever we hear God's word being communicated in various forms, whether it is being preached, whether it is being taught, whether it is being read. And when I say read, it could be read to us in our public assemblies, in our worship assemblies, during devotional time on Wednesday night, during Bible classes, or it could be in a private setting where we are reading or studying God's written word at home, or it could be just during a break at work. When we take a break, do we break out the bread of life and read it? I would be remiss if I did not mention that we can now tune in over the internet and listen to live and recorded broadcasts or sermons, Bible studies, and specific specialty subjects. However, I want to place a caveat on that. I want to pause on that and say we should not be tuning in, just a caution, we should not be tuning in or listening to anyone who is religious, because most doctrine being broadcasted and that is being streamed is false doctrine that originates or is coming from a denominational group or a community church. And also, just because a religious group claims to be non-denominational or non-denominational does not mean that they are obeying and following the doctrine of Jesus Christ. Flip over, if you will, to 2 John. 2 John only has a few verses there, I believe. I was going to say 13, and I was right. 2 John, beginning at verse 4, and I'll read through verse 11. This scripture points out my point. "I rejoice greatly that I have found some of your children walking in truth as we receive commandment from the Father. And now I plead with you, lady, not as though I wrote a new commandment to you, but that which we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. This is love, that we walk according to his commandments. This is the commandment that as you have heard from the beginning, you should walk in it. For many deceivers have gone into the world who do not confess Jesus Christ as coming in the flesh. This is a deceiver and an antichrist. Look to yourselves that we do not lose those things we work for, but that we may receive a full reward. Whoever transgresses and does not abide in the doctrine of Christ does not have God. He who abides in the doctrine of Christ has both the Father and the Son. So those wittingly or unwittingly, sincerely or unsincerely, who are going against the doctrine of Christ, they don't have God. So we shouldn't be tuning into them and listening to these broadcasts and these electronic communication broadcasts. Turn also in your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, beginning at verse 6, and I'll read through verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, 6 through 11. Let no one deceive you with empty words, for because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them. For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. Anyone who goes against the doctrine of Christ is promoting unfruitful works of darkness. So then, we should only be tuning in or logging on to electronic broadcasts from members of the body of Christ who preach and teach the truth. Therefore, this lesson is about how to prepare our body and the spirit to properly receive and digest God's word. Now, something I'm going to mention, going back to that broadcast, the electronic broadcast, the last time we went door knocking, we knocked on the door, Phil and I, and Phil was standing out on the road. But anyways, to make a long story short, I was talking to this gentleman, and he was saying that he goes to a religious group. I'm not going to say the name. He told me what it was, and he said that he was saved. And I said, "Well, how was that? What did you do?" He said, "Well, I prayed the salvation prayer." That's the new word or the new phraseology that they're using. We call it a lot the sinner's prayer, but he said, "I prayed the salvation prayer." So we talked about that, and I invited him to come to worship. So we have to be careful what we're tuning into. So do we possess the same fire, going back to the lesson text? Do we possess the same fire, that same hunger and that thirst each time we receive God's word through any forum or any channel? Matthew chapter 5 and verse 6 says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled." So let us refocus back in on the sermon and the title and the scripture text, and we're going to dissect some of the key words to aid our understanding of how we should buffet or condition our mind to receive God's word. My first point that I want to make tonight regarding the lesson text is that we need to receive God's word with meekness. Meekness means gentle, lowly, not high-minded, but being open to hear and to listen to God's word, to take it in and to implant it on the mind. That's what he's talking about when he says the engrafted word, the implanted word. When we plant something in the ground, what are we expecting? We're expecting it to take root, right? And to grow. So when we take God's word and plant it in our hearts and minds, we need to make sure it's engrafted there, that it's put there, and then when that we voluntarily do that, it's something that we have to do, because we can. You ever heard of somebody talking and someone said, "Well, you didn't hear anything that I said. You didn't listen or hear anything that I said. It just went in one ear and came out the other." We don't want to do that when we listen and read and study God's word. We want to implant it there and let it stay there so that we can recall it at the times that we need it, during temptations, during challenges, during sufferings in our Christian life. Jesus Christ, in describing his own disposition, describes beautifully the character of the meek. Let's go to Matthew chapter 11 in your Bibles. Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30. Jesus says, "Come to me, all ye you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. For I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light." So, meek, humble, lowly in heart. Meekness is intertwined or connected to the fruits of the Spirit. Brother Joel talked quite a bit about the fruits of the Spirit this morning. Turn in your Bibles to Galatians chapter 5. Let's look at those. It should be, hopefully, this familiar to us all. Galatians 5, and beginning at verse 22. Galatians 5, 22 through 26. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. Against such there is no law. And those who are Christ have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking one another, envying one another." So we see that in verse 23, all these traits, I believe, are significant traits in us being meek. But we see that in verse 23, it uses gentleness and self-control. That's what it's going to take for us to be able to zero in and latch on to God's word when we hear it. So we need to self-check ourselves and ensure our attitude and our demeanor is meek. And when we approach God in any way through scripture or through prayer. So anytime that we break open the bread of life, whether it's just a break at work or before we go to bed, when we wake up in the morning, we need to approach God's word with reverence, with respect, and with delight. As if you read the Psalms 119, it's a bunch of verses there. I think it's 170 something verses, but it's talking about David is talking about his attitude and how he accepts God's word. So it describes us when we get ready to partake of God's word. We should desire it like honey in the honeycomb. It should be sweet. It should be something that we have a taste, a zest for, and a hunger for. It should be something that pleases us. You know, when we engage in a study in God's word, it should be something that we look forward to, that we enjoy. My second point tonight is our subject of receive with meekness. The engrafted word contains another key word, which is engrafted, which is something that we have to voluntarily do, as I said earlier, because another word for engrafted is implanted. So we, in essence, need to make an effort to tune into God's word humbly and voluntarily, and voluntarily plant it in our mind, not on a short-term basis, not temporarily, but permanently. Now, and if you go back to James chapter 1, verses 22 through the end of that chapter, it talks about us being doers of the word and not just hearers only. So there's some self-control, there's some buffeting, there's some discipline that needs to happen when we approach God's word. Let's go in your Bibles to Psalms 119, and let's look at verses 10 through 11. As I mentioned, Psalms 119 just a few minutes ago. Psalms 119, verses 10 and 11. I know you guys got time to get there, because I'm slow getting there myself. Psalms 119, verses 10 and 11. With my whole heart I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Your word I have hidden in my heart, that I may not sin against you. Beautiful passage of scripture here. And this is the attitude that we should have, because we need God's word. We need that. It's like we're taking spiritual energy. I think Joel mentioned that we get nourishment from God's word, that spiritual nourishment to nourish our inner man, our spirit, so that when temptation comes, we're gonna recall that word is implanted right here, right? So when temptation comes, God's word is going to kick in and tell us, no, we can't do that. Or leave that alone. Go away from there. Change environments. Change sceneries. So that's what we're talking about as read in Psalms. So this mindset requires much self-control and effort on our part not to give in to the fleshly self and the worldly lusts, because we are constantly bombarded. I mentioned electronic communication devices, right, earlier. We're just getting bombarded with all this superfluid or naughtiness, all of this worldly influences, these temptations. So we have to buffet ourselves. Let's look at Galatians chapter 2. This is a familiar scripture to us all. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Hopefully some of you can cite this from memory. I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. So we have been crucified with Christ. We died to the flesh, to the world. We're pilgrims and sojourners in this world. And this world is not our home. We're looking forward to the reward and to the goal and the crown achievement of heaven. Turn also, go over to Titus, right after Timothy, Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. So hopefully this is a familiar scripture to us all. I cite this quite a bit in my lessons. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 and 12. For the grace of God that brings salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lusts, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in the present age. And I'll read verse 13 as well. Looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. So we have to keep our bodies under control. We have to implant and engraft God's word, so that we can look forward to that glorious appearing of our great God and Savior Jesus Christ. Also, let's go to Matthew chapter 13, verses 18 through 23. Matthew 13, and this chapter has to do with all the parables of the Word of God being sold and sown in different ways. Matthew 13, 18 through 23, therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received seed by the wayside. But he who received seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So we want to be of that good ground. What do we mean by good ground? By a mind, a heart that is open to receive God's word, that is willing to open their minds and listen and allow it to be implanted there so that it can germinate and produce fruit. My third point tonight I'd like to make regarding receiving with meekness the engrafted word is going back to the lesson text. Go back to James chapter 1. Again, specifically verse 19, it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This verse 19 clearly summarizes or outlines the approach we should take when we are getting ready to receive God's word. For it says, so then, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. This is our formula or our template, if you will, that we should follow in receiving God's word or when we are attempting to impart or teach God's word to a person who is not a Christian. Swift to hear means that we are anxious and ready to tune in and listen and to listen to understand and not to refute. It means we're going to tune in and listen. We have to get, when we listen, we have to get ready to listen. Okay, we have to hear and we have to understand what the other person is saying. Slow to speak. We are going to tone down our speech, and we realize and understand when two people are talking at the same time, this is unproductive and can lead to an argument or worse. Being respectful and courteous of the other person promotes productive communication. Because especially us men, when we get to talking and we get cut off, that kind of touches our little anger meter there a little bit. You know, we want to fire back. So we have to if the other person is talking and they want to stop talking, maybe we need to be quiet and let them say what they got to say. And then when they get through saying what they're going to say, then we say what we have to say. So somebody has to be the meek one. Someone has to be the one that is going to be courteous and be a Christian and act like a Christian. So slow to wrath means that we have excellent control of our emotions. And we're not going to overreact when the other party or the other person says something to offend us, or the preacher or the teacher says something that it goes against my personal preferences or my beliefs. We're not going to turn our ears off like this, and we're not going to listen anymore. But we're going to listen to understand, and so we're going to be slow to wrath. Because oftentimes, someone says something, and we need to make sure that we understand what they're saying. So it may be good to approach them. If someone is preaching and says something, approach them after services and say, "Did you mean this? And this is the way I received it. Now, is that what you meant?" Or in a two-person conversation, this is very important that we have these traits, that we don't fly off the handle and are easy, quick to wrath, versus the ideal thing, which is to be slow to wrath. So in verse 20, look at verse 20, saints. Verse 20 says, "For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God." So when we get angry, it doesn't help the situation. And my last and final point that I'd like to make tonight, like I said, this is going to be a pretty basic, simple lesson that hopefully it hits home tonight. In James 1 and verse 21, I'll read verse 21 again. "Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Because of the soul destructing or destroying nature of sin, sin is destructive. Sin has no place in the Christian's life. God hates sin. So because of the destructive nature of sin, God emphasizes that we must lay aside all filthiness. That's all sin, folks. That's all evil. That's everything that's against God's will, and overflow of wickedness. So in the King James Version, I have the New King James, I think it used superfluity. "Lay aside all superfluity of naughtiness." That means excessive evil. That means that we're just overcome with evil, and it's just flowing like a swell river that's been rained upon and flooded. It's just overflowing with evil and wickedness. So we need to lay all that aside, as James points out. In order to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save our souls, we must stop committing sins. Let's turn in your Bibles to 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 through 2. 1 John chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. And he himself is the propitiation of our sins, and not for ours only, but also for the whole world." So God is our advocate. He's going to forgive us if we repent. If we're penitent, if we do something to transgress, he will forgive us, but that's not something we should take for granted. There are some Christians and some religious groups that think that that gives them a license to sin, that they can go and do something and transgress and then come and repent later and then go back out and do something else the next week and then come back in and repent and then go back out. You get the picture. That's not what he's talking about. It's that we shouldn't continue in sin, that the Lord's grace can abound. During the time when this book was written by James, the brother of Jesus, sin was rampant and out of control. And it is no different in comparison to what's happening today. It's probably worse today. As I said, there are new ways that mankind is seeking out to sin, to do evil. Now, the King James Version uses the word, I mentioned this already, superfluity, and the New King James uses the word overflow, which both mean an unnecessarily or excessive large amount or number of something. So as he talks about sin, he describes sin, he says, stop doing all of these different types of sins. Lay them aside. So we need to implant God's word in our minds so that we know what sin is and what is right and what is wrong, right? If we don't have the engrafted word in our heart and mind, if we could do something and transgress God's law and not even know it. That's where the danger lies. So the inspired writer uses the phrase all filthiness. This covers all sins because mankind is in hot pursuit to invent and create new ways to sin. Consequently, these works of the flesh are not tolerated and accepted by Almighty God. Let's look in Galatians chapter 5. I didn't have time. I was going to share something with y'all. And it was regarding the works of the flesh. But let's go ahead and read the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verse 19. I didn't have time to run it off. I was going to give you all a chart that I made about the works of the flesh. Starting at verse 19, it identifies, most of them are identified here, but it's not all inclusive. Now, the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outbursts of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envies, murders, drunkenness, reveries, and like, of which I tell you before. This is, I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. So if we have God's word engrafted and planted and implanted in our mind, then we're going to be aware of these things, and we're not going to allow ourselves to transgress and get entangled in these sins. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6. It talks about, it also identifies some works of the flesh as well. 1 Corinthians 6, verses 9 through 12. In 1 Corinthians 6, beginning at verse 9, it says, do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. All things are lawful for me, but all things are not helpful. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. So there's a lot of things in this society that is acceptable. But as Christians, because we are have been sanctified and set apart, and we've dedicated our life to Christ, we're not going to participate in them because it's against God's law. Last scripture I have for you tonight, and then I'll close, is Romans chapter 6, verses 11 through 13. And then I'll leave you with the lesson. Romans 6, 11 through 13 says, likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Do not let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. And do not present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present your members to God as being alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. This takes effort. It takes us voluntarily dedicating and offering our bodies up daily as a living sacrifice. And as a lesson, the subject was received with meekness, the engrafted word. We're going to need God's word daily, because sometimes, you know, that we're getting old, I'm getting old myself now. I'm speaking of myself. I'm not going to pick at anybody here. You know, we forget. So we need to refresh ourselves by reading and continuously reading God's word. And hopefully many of these truths, of these scriptures of what to do and how to live a life will stick. Now, there's a scripture in Matthew 15 that tells us that it's not what goes in the body that defiles the man. It's what comes out through this thing right here, from here, that defiles the man. So we have to be careful. And if we don't have God's word implanted in here, these things come into our mind, and there's nothing to filtrate it. There's nothing to stop it or from affecting the flesh. And then pretty soon we're out of control. So we need to make sure that when we hear God's word, that we take it seriously, that we have joy and pleasure, and that we have the proper respect for what we're reading, and make sure that we properly receive it and rightly divide it. So if you are here tonight and you are not a Christian, you're in a lost condition, and we encourage you to obey the gospel before it's everlasting too late. You must hear the gospel of Christ. You must believe that Christ is the Son of the living God, that he came down to this earth and rose on the third day and ascended back on high, and he's in heaven right now on the right hand of God. You must confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. You have to repent of your sins. You have to acknowledge, you have to hear, and that implantation that we talked about has taken place, and you understand that you are a sinner and that you need to stop sinning. And last but not least, you must be buried in the water of the grave of baptism to have all your sins washed away. If you are a member of the body of Christ and you have not, the God's word has not been implanted like it should be, and there's some transgressions that you need to confess to us and ask for the Lord. You're not confessing to us, you're confessing to the Lord so we can pray on your behalf so that your sins can be forgiven. If you are subject to the invitation tonight, please come as we stand and sing.